She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
You're listening to Our Mirror's Reflections via Anchor.fm. Anchor FM makes podcasting easy, especially for a startup like me. I love using this platform because it's free. You can accept sponsorships as well as its ability to automate distribution of your podcast across majority, if not all, of podcast channels. You should give Anchor a try. It's free to sign up. Thanks so much for following Our Mirror's Reflections.
Hey, we are with Nick Storm today on Our Mirror's Reflections. I am so excited to have Nick Storm today joining the podcast. Nick Storm, welcome.
Hey, what's going on?
I am so honored to have you, and I have to tell you why. You are the main guy in the alcohol and spirits business. What do you think about that?
I'm honored, right? But it took a lot of work. And it's funny, I always see that everybody always sees like the good times of everything that we're at right now. But
the shine, right?
The shine. But, you know, nobody really remembers the real hustle that it took to get into the business. I mean, remind you, like, I've been in the business for 19 years.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
That's damn near 2 decades.
Yeah, it is. And I enjoyed, you know, every minute of it.
I want you to take us back to your first break. Mm-hmm. Was your first break hypnotic, or was it before that?
No, it was actually hypnotic.
And what did it feel like to take that blue cocktail beverage and take it to where it went back in the 90s, if I recall?
No, it was actually 2000.
It was 2000.
It was 2000.
I don't know why I recall it to like late 90s with Biggie and Puffy, but it was actually at Justin's, when Puffy had Justin's?
Yeah. That was, you want to hear a good story?
I want to hear a great story.
Great story. I got a great story for you, because it being in September, this is actually a perfect time for the story. So, you know, with 9/11 hitting around that time, you know, New York, it's very somber moments. Of course,
right.
Like a couple of months. So the next possible date that I chose was mm-hmm. November 1st.
Why did you choose that date?
Because that was a day that New York was, I felt like we were going to get like a little bit, you know, back up. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan was coming back to the NBA. He was playing on the Wizards, but he was playing against the Knicks. He's playing at Madison Square Garden.
Big moment.
You know, yes, Justice was showing the game. So we're doing a promotion at Justice. And the other thing was crazy was that Club Cheetah, uh-huh. which was across the street,
yeah.
was doing like a little after party as well.
Uh-huh.
So I had to go to Club Cheetah, meet with the guy. He didn't want to hear nothing from me at that time. He was like, all right, whatever. I'll take 4 bottles, but that's whatever.
Uh-huh.
So Justin's came, the game was on, Justin's was packed.
Uh-huh.
We're selling cocktails. Like everybody's now, at that time, Justin's actually changed one of the cocktails to the Biggie Breeze.
Uh-huh.
So we're doing a Biggie Breeze and we got the Hulk going, uh-huh. and Justin's is rocking. And then I leave Justin's and I go to Club Cheetah. I don't know, the owner, the manager kept saying, you know, we're not going to sell any of this, right? So I was like, no, listen. So, you know, I just want to buy some cocktails right now. So I took the hypnotic girls over and, you know, we was waiting and, you know, everybody was coming in, mm-hmm. and the girls were holding a little tray and they were taking samples. You know, some people was like, oh, can I get a drink? You know, so, you know, we're moving a little bit. And sure enough,
What happened?
That rapper that came in, Mr. Fab came in. And Fab came in and went to Club Cheetah, and I remember they were like, so the owner, I remember he was like, yo, guy over there wants to buy a bottle. I was like, oh man, yeah, you know, so Fab bought a bottle, Latrell Sprewell and them come in.
Yeah. From the Knicks.
Yes.
I remember Latrell.
The Knicks was coming in. So, yo, so one of the models, they were walking around just with the blue bottle, like so in the air, but not really getting it sold, but they just walking around.
Right.
And one of the guys was like, yo, I'll buy that. Uh-huh. So Latrell Sprewell bought one. Another Nick, Clarence Weatherspoon, uh-huh. He was on the Knicks. He ended up buying two bottles.
Wow. And you only had four.
Four. To the owner comes over to me and is like, the manager at the time comes over to me, yo, who got more bottles of this stuff? I was like, I do. In my trunk. He was like, yo, write me an invoice right now. Actually, let me get a case right now.
Wow.
So I bought another case in. You know, of course, that's all illegal back then because we had no, you know, but I actually know because I had an importer's license, so we actually had a license to sell, but we didn't even have a distributor back then. But yeah, so yeah, we he came in and I got him another case, and next thing you know,
it was
so
fun.
The Nick players on the stage because you know how Cheetah had the little stage.
Yeah.
He had Fab, all the people popping, you know. All the trendsetters who was in New York was popping. Yeah, and next thing, that guy comes to me. Like, it's like 1:32 o'clock. I ain't had no cases left because we already had Justice already had. He said, yo, I'm at my last two bottles.
Wow.
About like 2:30 in the morning.
So at the end of the party, you were sold out.
I was sold out at the end of the party.
Wow.
Yeah, we killed Justin's and we killed Club Cheetah, and that was the launch of Hypnotic. So it ended up moving to launch, of course, not from 9/11. We moved it to 11/1/01.
Which is amazing that you could even remember that far back in detail.
Yeah.
But who would forget their big break?
That was it.
No one forget their
nobody
big break.
Nobody gonna forget that break.
Wow.
You're not gonna forget that break.
And that was
our,
major.
That was our big break.
And from then, that's where it took off and started to go into all the different New York clubs.
Yeah. Now, a couple of clubs was, you know, getting it, you know, and then it was a couple of, like, little websites. Do you remember the little website, like, 7 days, 7 nights?
Yes, I remember 7 days, 7 nights.
And all the parties.
It was ran by a black guy.
Yeah, man. Both of them, Michael and the other one, Chris. Shouts out to both of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they started, like, so them
and
pictures.
I used to see the pictures of the Hypnotic girls holding. Yes. You're bringing it back.
I'm bringing it back.
You're bringing it back.
This is the grind. It's a grind mode.
It was all about branding, man. And you were doing your own brand marketing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have the money and the team to do that. You had to do it yourself. You had to come up with the vision. You had to come up with the with how am I going to promote this?
And the look and feel. See, that's the thing about most of these brand ambassadors when they understand about being a brand ambassador. Like, I go into every, when I was doing events, I go into an event like it's a game. And sometimes in a game, you got to call. Like, I swear I was a quarterback in high school. I was a quarterback. Like, I know, sometimes you can look at the defense and you say, wait a minute, let me audible.
Yes.
I take it like, I would take it like a game. Like, I would go into places and we like, wait a minute, no, change it up. Like, we're gonna promote from here.
Right.
No, move the cases over here. No, move the bottle placement at this bar. Nobody's gonna be seen at that bar. Like, you gotta know that.
You have the
eye. You gotta study the game.
And you studied the game, and that's how you mastered it so well.
Right.
You stood back and you looked at what was working well, what needed a little bit of tweaking, and that's how you took it to the next level.
We started in 2000. And really just trying to, you know, break the ways of, you know, just taking from store to store, bar to bar, account to account, and really just trying to break the way through. And in 2001, we really, like March, April, guy by the name of Rafael Jacoby, which was my partner with Hypnotic, he ended up changing the formula a little bit. And we ended up making a little bit of some runs going into the summertime, but not really. We might have picked up an account here and an account there, but not really nothing yet. And mind you, I had already left my job in 2000 and decided I wanted to do Hypnotic.
Without having a job.
Without having a job.
That's a bold-ass move.
It was a bold move. Mm-hmm. Like, leaving, like, a regular check, health benefits, insurance, everything, and putting it all aside for your dream.
Mm.
And for like 6 months, I mean, you're talking about, I probably exhausted everything that I had in my savings. And then leading up to this in August, I got a break of getting Hypnotic to a gentleman by the name of John Vasquez out in the Hamptons for Puffy's White Party, Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
And it went over so well that he invited me, he said, you know what, I think we're going to take this brand, we'll, you know, give it to Justin's, because everybody liked the brand, and you can do the party. Now, Labor Day is the first week, right? September 4th, around that time. Yep. And I could do the party the following Tuesday at Justin's. And he was like, you know, I got a record release coming up with this young rapper from Brooklyn. It's going to be really good. And I was just so hyped. And like for 4 days and 5 days, I worked my butt off getting ready for this one event. And it's like the first account that's ever going to take it. And I mean, I use all my strings from everywhere. Like I went to a friend of mine and, you know, picked out my models. I went and got my menus done. I mean, I have no money, right? I had to get like some VIP lanyards done and make it look like you're VIP. So I had to pass these out, right? So I mean,
Hustling hard.
So here I am, Tuesday morning of the event at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm right here where we're doing the podcast on 21st Street.
Okay.
I'm down here at Justin's loading up, you know, some of the stuff that we had that we were going to use that night. And at 8 o'clock, I had to go back downtown and get the Hot 97 because I wanted to make I had a basket for Ed Lover.
Wow, Ed!
Yeah. Shouts out to Ed Lover, but wow. I had a basket for him and I wanted to give him some VIP passes for tonight. And by 8:20 that day, Ed Lover shouted me out on the radio, talked about Justin's, talked about, you know, come on out, they got this new blue drink, all of this, he's blowing me up. And my two-way pager is actually blowing up.
It's going off
from a few
beep,
people.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's like either driving to work or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so but at 8:30, I'm leaving Hot 97 to go and get the flyers from down the block on Hudson, where a friend of mine was doing them.
Okay.
And at 8:46, my whole world came crashing down.
What happened?
The day of Hypnotic's launch was actually September 11th.
That's right! 9/11.
It was 9/11.
Jesus.
And the album that we were going to promote at Justin's that night was Fabulous.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
How crazy. And I'm right down there. God. I'm like 30 blocks from the Trade Center because my friend was giving me the flyers from there. So I remember coming out the store and had my little Snapple and bagel, and just, you know, seeing it, but not really thinking anything because it was like you see the towers, but you know, it looked like a small gash. And somebody walked by me. I remember the guy said, "I tell you, like those, you know, helicopters, they get too close to those towers," and you know, nobody knew what was going on.
Right.
And then I got a text from John, and he was like, "Hey, heard something happened at the towers. Are you okay?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm fine. I got the flyers done." And we're still talking about the party.
Wow.
And next thing you know, I walked to another area to go towards my car.
Right.
And that's when Tower 2 was hit.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow.
So it was tough.
It's an amazing story that has a bittersweet ending for that day because a lot of lives was lost. And as you were about to make a big moment in your life after making so many sacrifices, just like that, life can change. And the fact that you were safe and you were okay is even more of a blessing.
Yeah.
But it's a moment you're never going to forget.
No.
What a story.
Never.
What a story.
Yeah. So, yeah, so then we had to, for those 2 months, I had to sit back with, you know, I mean, no account was talking to you for right now. Nobody was really going out.
So you're at zero.
I'm at zero.
You're at zero, financially.
Financially, I'm strapped. I can't even believe it. And I was going to give it all up.
I'm
going to give it all up.
Let me go back just for a minute, Nick. With this happening and having the rug pulled from underneath you, what pushed you to continue? What stopped you right in that moment when you said, "I was going to give up"? Why didn't you?
That night, it was a late night. And you know when you're broke. And you're depressed, and you're looking at TV, start watching TV all night. And I was watching a movie about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And the movie was Shawshank Redemption.
Mm.
And I remember watching this part with Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman had said, "I'm going to either do two things. I'm going to either get busy living.
Yes.
Or I'm going to get busy dying."
Wow.
And that impacted me so hard.
That quote
was so deep to me. And I was like, "Yo, I gotta get busy living."
Wow.
And I woke up that next morning And I'm 50% in, right? I'm 50% in. But I was living in Harlem, and I had to move my car from one side of the street to the other, you know, alternate yes. sides of the parking. So yes. I had to get up all early in the morning and move my car from one side of the block. And, you know, WBLS, I jumped in my car. I was feeling good.
Uh-huh.
And WBLS, this guy came on the radio. He was like, you know, he's talking about the day and how you're going to feel good. And, you know, we're going to let you, you know, get on this Michael Jackson record with the Jacksons.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost there. And I heard that record
uh-huh.
and the way it begins. And when Michael says, no matter how hard it may seem, don't give up on your plan. Don't give up about your dream. Oh, man, yo.
Oh, my goodness. Yo, I'm getting chills.
Yeah, you gotta
I'm getting
to,
chills.
You know, when you listen to that record, it will make you feel. Like, and that record, I can tell you, whenever you ever have a record impact you,
yes.
that record impacted me. The movie impacted me. And that day, I was able to get my first, I put on my shoes, I put on my suit, I got my little book bag with uh-huh. the brand, and went to Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Here I go again, because at that time, about 43 places in my black book that I still have, 42
uh-huh.
places said no.
42 places told me no.
Every club, every bar, every lounge, every store I walked into said no, we're not interested. But this one store up on 125th Street, at the time, I think it was Harlem Liquors. Guy said, you know what? I like your pitch. Because by the time I walked in and they seen my liquor bag, they already knew that it was a pitch, a sales guy. And they were like, no, sir, we're good.
Right.
And he was like, you know what? I like your pitch. I'm going to give you a chance. And that day, it was a Wednesday. I remember because he said, you got to do a promotion on Friday. That's 2 days.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And he was like, you got to do a store tasting in here. I'm going to buy one case, but if I don't sell this case, you got to come back here and buy that case back from me.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, sir, just give me this chance.
Wow. And
yeah. So I sold the case in on Friday.
So 41 no's.
41 no's.
And at 42, a yes.
No, 42 no's.
So 42 no's.
43 yes.
43 yes. yes.
Mm-hmm.
So despite all the no's you were getting, you were determined to go all the way. You were all in.
I was all in. I had nothing else. I was just like, you know, I had all, because I wanted to. I knew that I was believing in myself, but I was believing in the brand, more importantly.
So it was the brand
that driven
you. You knew you had.
Oh, I knew I had.
You knew you had it in you to do
yeah.
it. But you knew it was the brand that you believed in.
It was
in.
The brand I believed in.
I hope you listeners are listening to this. This is one of the most inspirational stories I have ever heard. And I actually never heard the story told by him before.
Mm-hmm.
I am inspired. And if this story does not inspire you, 9/11 could have stopped him, right? That could have been a sign of negativity. He did not take it as that.
Mm-hmm.
He was told 42 no's. I don't believe in the brand. Not necessarily I don't believe in Nick Storm, but I don't believe in the brand. And then at 43, he was then told, okay, dude, I'm giving you 2 days to sell this by Friday. If you don't sell it, you will have to come and buy this back from me. And he made it happen. There are no excuses. Go ahead, Nick.
That's right. And, so I got it in the store in Harlem, and I got another one, good one for you, because I didn't know how to do tastings. So I had to call a friend of mine that actually worked at Remy Red at the time, and he was like, oh, you got to get a girl, go get a table, a 4-foot table, and you got to put a white sheet over it and get some small tasting cups. And he was like breaking everything down, because I didn't want to tell a store owner, like, he was like giving me this opportunity, but I didn't want to tell him.
You didn't
want to
hit him with all that.
Like, how do I do a tasting? I wanted to say, like, I got this, no problem.
That's right.
And I went there, and I was prepared on Friday, and I did a really, really funny move that you actually will read in little book, this book. Right, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna let you have it. I'm gonna get you first.
I can't wait.
I had to figure out how I was gonna get this bottle outside of the of the store. I had to figure out, like, how am I gonna do this?
Yeah.
Right. So I came up with this plan, and I said to myself, you know what? I got a cousin in Harlem. So I went to my one cousin in Harlem who's known in his project.
Okay.
Because he was like a good ball player, all that. He knows everybody in the project.
Right.
So I went to him and I said, yo, I need you to buy a bottle from me. He's like, Nick, I know. No, I heard about you in the business. Like, you know, what's your sell? I said, just come in the liquor store
mm-hmm.
and buy a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could do me a favor,
mm-hmm.
bring six people in. But at different times. He was like, Nick, let's do it. So I sat there with my cousin. We came up with this little plan on the two-way pager. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I got you, Nick. So Friday came. Mm-hmm. I actually had my cousin who was, you know, cute at the time, and she was in the neighborhood, and I had the models, so I used her to come and please help me and, you know, sit at the table and ask them, sort of, you know, when someone comes in, you know, taste hypnotic. Right. And then she was like, oh, okay, no problem. Yeah. So my store taster started from 5 to 7. Okay. That was the time frame he gave me.
Okay.
So at 5:15, two girls walk in and like, oh, now at the time, Alizé was the number one cordial. Yes. At the time.
Okay.
And Alizé was the real toughest one.
Right.
So, you know, it was our competition. Right. So the girls walked in, you know, they were like, oh, what's this? We'll taste this. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. I think we're going to get Alizé. And the girl was like, no, you need to try hypnotic again. And they were like, you know what? I'll buy it. So they bought hypnotic. So that's one bottle done. I need 5 more done. The store guy is looking at me like, boom, you got lucky. You're like, you know, uh-huh. For the next 30 minutes,
yes,
he sent in 8 people from his block.
Uh-huh.
To the point where I was only 45 minutes in,
uh-huh,
and we already sold 6 bottles. He had to buy another case for me in my car because at the time I had it in my trunk.
Right.
So he bought another case. I brought it. So he's like, no, give me 2 cases. So he bought 2 more cases.
Oh, he got confident.
So the crazy part is, by the end of the day, at 7,
yeah,
we sold 18 bottles.
18 bottles of hypnotic.
Yes. We sold 18 bottles. And the crazy
Your first tasting.
And of course, yeah, I cheated. So, yeah, I used my cousin.
Everyone does in business. And every successful man will tell you the same story.
Yeah. But the crazy thing was, they went back to their neighborhood.
Yes.
They started drinking it.
Right.
Now, you know, when you're drinking in the projects, everybody's like, yo, what you got? Yo, what?
They want to taste it.
Yeah. And next thing you know, the guy called me that Saturday morning. So they wanted more cases. But his brother owned another store up on the other side of Harlem, up on Hump 45th, that he said, yo, my brother wants 2 cases. So between Saturday, that day,
yes,
I had to drop off another 6 cases between both places, and both places was rocking with it. It was like catching on fire.
Wow.
With between Taft Projects.
Wow.
Shouts out to Taft, shouts out to Foster, shouts out to Johnson, because all my cousins was in that neighborhood.
Wow.
And they were going to buy it.
Wow.
And we killed it for that weekend. It got so bad that back then, on Sundays, liquor stores were closed in New York.
Okay.
And he was calling me on a Sunday and saying, I know I'm closed, but come Monday morning, I need more.
And that's how it started. All in Harlem.
All in Harlem at that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nick, what an inspirational story. So now that hypnotic took off at that point, how did everyone else start to get put on?
We started a grassroots, you know, plan. Like that was like just a grassroots marketing plan.
Right.
And at the time, I would have, you know, we were going from store to store, block to block, city to city. So if a store in Brooklyn took it, we were doing tastings there for like 2-3 days. And it was good because what was happening was not only the stores were like catching on,
right,
but now clubs in the local neighborhood were catching on. Because if you're buying it from the store, you're probably going out to that local club or bar and asking for the drink.
And they don't have it.
And they don't have it.
Yet.
Yeah, so that was like really a big tool. But then there was 2 big tools that really, you know, captivated the movement.
What was it?
The big one, the next one was a liquor store tasting I had in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And Grady's, shouts out to Grady's in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, Queens, but Grady's. I was doing a promotion there with a tasting.
Okay.
And a guy came in.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his pants low, Yankee hat, you know, just coming in with his Brooklyn swag.
Uh-huh.
And I was like 3 months into, you know, working on hypnotic, right? Just hypnotic alone, like.
Right.
And the kid said, yo, and the girl was like, excuse me, would you like to try some hypnotic? And he was like, nah, ma, I know how to do this. Nah, we good. I know how to do this.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, oh, okay, very timid. He was like, let me show you what we do out here in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
So he grabbed the hypnotic bottle off the shelf.
Right.
I was like, oh, he bought one. He's like, and then he grabbed a Hennessy. So
ooh,
he ended up taking both of them.
Yeah.
And he was like talking to the girl, like, let me show you what I'm doing here, ma. Let me show you. So he's like, yo, let me open up this Hennessy for you. Hey, yo, he said to the guy at the cash house, yo, I'm going to open up my bottle. You know I'm good for it. And he was like, well, you know, you open, you buy it. He's like, I got this.
Uh-huh.
So he took the Hennessy.
Yeah.
He took the hypnotic. But what he did is he showed the girl, he put the hypnotic in first.
Yes.
Then he took the Hennessy and he put it on top.
Okay.
And with his finger, he went and turned it around.
Yes.
And he said, you see that girl? Turn green. And he tasted it in the store.
Uh-huh.
And he said, we call this out here the money shot.
The money shot.
Yeah, this is the money. We call this the green money shot out here in Brooklyn.
Wow.
So before he was about to leave, he said to her,
yes.
Can I get your number?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, no, I can't. He was like, oh, no problem, babe. You know, sometimes, you know, I turn green. You know, I feel like I'm the Incredible Hulk. So me, sitting back in
watching
the land, I mean, over there by the boxes, I'm like, green like the Hulk. Green like the Hulk.
Wow.
So I went home, and I wrote it out, and I called my cousin from California. Mm-hmm. And my cousin Mark, I said, Mark, what did Tupac say in that record that you always used to say to me? And he said to me that, he said, oh, yo, pass me that Alizé and that Hennessy, you know, that Thug Passion. Thug Passion was the number one drink.
Right.
So I was like, man, I wonder if I could take Incredible Hulk to that. Maybe if I could combine both of them. You know what I'm going to do? And this is why this story is so great and why we're on 21st Street.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my guy, mm-hmm. and I went to him, and I said, Raphael, I need a little bit more dollars because I want to rent a costume. He said, what are you going to rent? I said, Raphael, I want to rent an Incredible Hulk costume.
Oh, shit. The story gets better and better.
So he was like, why? I said, Raphael, just trust me on this. So he's like, okay. So on 21st Street, right here,
uh-huh.
I went to Abracadabra.
Oh, my
costume
goodness.
Store.
Yes.
And I went there, and I ended up renting a costume. The guy thought I was, like, laughing. I mean, he thought it was a joke. He was like, yeah, I'll give it to you. He gave it to me for, like, the most blowout price ever because it was nowhere near, Halloween.
Right.
So I got the costume. Mm-hmm. My cousin Raheem
uh-huh.
was huge, uh-huh. right? So uh-huh. I was like, yo, Raheem, I need you to come work with me at Justin's
uh-huh.
on Friday night because I had a promotion there. He's like, bet. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, Raheem showed up.
Right.
In his black suit, because he thought he was doing security that night.
He got a wake-up call.
Right. And I showed him the Hulk outfit. He like, what am I going to do with that? So I'm like, yo, bro, you got to put this on. So Raheem is like, no, you serious? I said, Raheem, trust me on this, man. Trust me, man. So Raheem put it on.
Yes.
I made him walk around for an hour with a hypnotic bottle in one hand and a Hennessy bottle in the other.
Shit.
So the crazy part was, Justin's blew out that night. Blew through him so much that I got a chance to do at one other club. It's called Babaloo's.
Babaloo's.
Yes.
I remember.
It was on 44th Street.
Yep.
And a group by the name of New Life Entertainment. Shouts out to Adi's and New Life. These kids, these young cats, man, they had like a really good hold on the Latin side at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a Latin crowd. So I went over there, and the guy manager was like, I'm not taking this in. I do record numbers with Alizé. Why am I going to take this in? I was like, listen, if you give me one chance, trust me, just give me my Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me from 11 to 1 a promotion. He's like, all right, if you're not, then not. Give me one chance. Bet. I came in there,
uh-huh.
I brought the Hulk guy in there with me. We did 11 to 1.
What?
We did 59, I have to say my black book, but we did like 60 something cocktails.
Uh-huh.
More than he ever thought. But he only took in one case, so he oversold, like he sold
so
out.
So he ran out.
Ran out.
Shoot.
He promised me, if I could bring the Hulk back in for 3 weeks, he'll take in 10 cases.
10 cases.
At that time, that's unheard of.
Shoot.
That's 60 bottles, 10 cases.
Wow.
He said, give him 3 to 4 week promotion, he can do it. And
he was sold. He was sold on the fact that you were going to sell that many cases.
He was sold. He was sold because he said, you know what, I never seen, you know, something happen. I never seen you know, the crowd is into it. The Hulk guy is running around. He's dancing with girls. He's taking pictures with people. But then, first, remember, we're at Justin's.
Yes.
We're at Babaloo's.
Yes.
Now it's time to take it to the Bronx. And the guy gave me my first chance up in the Bronx
uh-huh.
was Jimmy's Bronx Cafe.
Jimmy's. Everybody remember Jimmy's.
Everybody remember Jimmy's. And Jimmy's was where the ball players was at, the baseball players was at, the rappers was at, the movers and shakers was at. Like, if you was at Jimmy's, you
was the shit.
Yeah.
You was it. You was on.
Yeah. And I came and sold the program to him. He thought it was a joke. He was like, no, I want models. I don't want no guy walking around a costume.
Oh, so he wasn't down for the Hulk.
Mm-mm. So I said, well, what if I get models and the Hulk? He was like, all right, let's see what you're talking about.
Is that where the Hypnotic Girl started?
That's where the Hypnotic Girl started. Yeah, Team Hypnotic. The Hypnotic Girls. Yeah, the Hypnotic Girls started back then because we started a movement from then. Girl by the name of Elaine Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
She
oh, we all love her.
Yeah.
She is amazing,
yeah,
amazing
she is.
Person.
Yeah, she started like a movement with her and like and she had like a 8-girl movement.
There was a crew, because I remember back then seeing them.
Yeah.
Dressed up in white and
blue wigs.
And looking gorgeous. Yeah. They were badass chicks.
Yeah, she was recruiting. Like she was like doing some strenuous recruiting at that time. So we would, you know, we would go everywhere. But at this one moment at Jimmy's, it was like a big day up there at one time. I don't know if it was Fat Joe was performing, whatever it was. But mm-hmm. I know we brought the Hulk up there, and they took in 3 cases. And by the end of the night, the guy said that we were the number 2 cocktail behind the regular pina colada.
Wow.
Behind the pina colada.
Wow.
Which was like their signature drink.
Right. Wiped everything else out.
Yeah.
Nothing else mattered.
Incredible Hulk was their number 2 seller.
This is amazing. I didn't realize, Nick, that the story was this deep and the struggle was that real to prove your name.
Yeah.
And to prove the brand, Hypnotic.
Yeah. Yeah, we had it.
Let me ask you something. I don't think Hypnotic would have made it without you.
No, I don't think so.
I'm being totally honest with you. I don't think so.
Yeah, no,
fought for that brand.
Yeah.
I think it was more fighting for the brand than it was even fighting for yourself. Because mm-hmm. I think you could have picked up any other bottle and represented it well.
Yeah. But I had a passion for it. Like, my husband embedded from, you know, my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad was very, like, I'm, you know what it is, though? I'm a sports person. Mm-hmm. I played all sports all my life. Mm-hmm. So I know what it is to win, and I know what it is to lose, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm competitive. Mm-hmm. I don't like to lose. Like, nobody likes to lose.
It seems like, Nick, you're competitive with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes the best winners.
Yeah.
And not once in this interview or in this conversation or even from the time I've met you and known you, have I ever heard you talk about, you know, your counterpartners or people that you're, you know, could be the person you maybe you're battling with in the industry. It's always about what you do, what you're doing, what you need to do, and what you need to take things to the next level. And that's mm-hmm. something that I really admired about you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever hear you talking about other people. It's about what I'm doing, what I need to do, and what I need to do to get to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because that's very important in life. Like, I love horse racing. Because I'm a horse racer. I know when I'm starting and I know where I got to go. I don't want to finish. I don't want to look to my right and I don't want to look to my left. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely not looking behind me, mm-hmm. you know. And wherever you at, like, I'm just moving straight. I'm going forward. I'm going for the goal.
A man in his own lane, and that's all he's focused on.
That's it.
Wow. So now, tell me now, after Hypnotic, what happened? What was the next big thing for you?
Okay, well, let me just say how Hypnotic just got the hit, and then we can move on.
Yeah, we want to know how you get it.
Because that was like a lot of grassroots marketing with inside of New York. And we only was in New York, New Jersey, and Delaware, and Maryland at that time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we were when you talk about grassroots, we were grassroots.
Wow.
Like, we were getting, when we sold into Delaware, mm-hmm. we put all the girls in a truck, mm-hmm. we go all the way down to Delaware, we blow it up from Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We back in New York on Sunday.
Wow.
That's the type of movement we were doing.
Yeah, I was hustling.
Yeah, hustling. Like, we was on tour with a bottle. That was the artist.
Wow.
Yeah. So then we come around and we get our first big break.
Through who?
Cheo and Webb, like, to shout them out. Uh-huh. We're managing a guy by the name of F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S.
Fabulous.
So I met with them, and they said, yo, we're doing a video. You got any video money? And back then, we had no money, right? So all the money we making, we're putting right back into the brand.
Into the brand, into the business, which is smart.
Into the marketing and putting right back into promotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was our biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
In promoting anything, you got to put it back in the brand, but you got to go right to the consumer.
I got to ask you one thing. Not once do I hear that you used a branding company.
No.
You were the brand.
We were the branding company. We were everything.
Wow.
We were the marketing company, the branding company, the promotional company. We were that.
Wow.
And so we ended up taking a chance of, you know, taking a little bit of our marketing money
yes.
and doing a video. Yeah. And we fly out to LA, we got the video. Next thing you know, it's about to come out. And the video comes out. It debuts on BET, VH1, MTV, mm-hmm. Fuse, you name it, at number one. And the video was traded off. By Fabulous, Jagged Edge, and Puff Daddy.
Yep.
And it was like a big song. Barbershop soundtrack came out. Ice Cube's first big movie. It was, And the song was big. The video was huge.
I remember.
And the brand, when I tell you, Ms. Jackson, when I tell you, going back to Long Island mm-hmm. in our little like imported little office we had,
yes.
and next thing you know, we were getting calls from, we weren't getting calls from stores, we were getting calls from distributors that was not even paying us attention. But then next thing you know, Eber Brothers in New York picked us up. States were calling, Georgia called, Florida called from a video.
From a video. It all started, though, from your vision
mm-hmm.
and you branding out Hypnotic the way you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a movie out of it visually for people to see.
Yeah.
You see? And you took a watching. What I loved is you didn't mind watching that gentleman that walked in to the liquor store and said, hey, I want to show you something with the Hennessy
mm-hmm.
and the Hypnotic. And we're going to, you were sitting back, looking back, not saying, you know what, I'm going to do this myself and I don't need any, you know, visual stuff and I don't need to be. You opened your mind to what was going on around you
yep.
and how I could take this to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking it to another level and getting the Hulk outfit?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Crazy.
Brilliant.
Crazy.
I mean, so then what happened next?
Yeah,
so after the video, after all these distributors were calling you.
It started, we started blowing up. And next thing you know, we were just like, we were on our way. And in 2002 and in 2003, at the end of 2002, we were just like really, really starting to bubble. A company by the name of Heaven Hill
mm-hmm.
came in and bought the brand.
Wow.
And they bought the brand from us. And I ended up staying on with the brand with Heaven Hill. And continue with Hypnotic, and I built the Ambassador Program.
Wow.
Ambassador Program is very important, and I want to mention that right now because these companies are mentioning about the Ambassador Programs and all of that. Like, I don't want to take pride in it. I mean, I'm not going to say like I was the lead, but I was definitely one of the guys, the founders of starting the Ambassador Program.
Absolutely.
Because at the time, there was a company by the name of US Concepts.
Okay.
And a lot of the companies were just giving them the marketing business and letting them do the promotions.
Right.
And when we got with Heaven Hill, the guy was like, Nick, what you did in New York and what you did in Delaware and New Jersey was crazy. But how do we duplicate? How do we replicate you in the market?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I just got to find people that's just as hungry as me
right.
in the markets that we're about to do.
That's
so
right.
I went out there and I grinded. And then I knew certain people in certain markets that either when I was in the music business mm-hmm. or, you know, in passing. But I knew promoters and I knew people that just knew, you know, about the business, not really about the business, the liquor business, but
right.
just about promotions and clubs and
right.
things of that nature.
Right.
And I could train them by then.
Right.
So I took the Ambassador Program, took six states, took six individuals at the time with Hypnotic and made them ambassadors. And that was the key thing of blowing up the brand with Hypnotic. Mm-hmm. And then that year we was on fire for those next 2-3 years. So I was the first one that we sold 1 million cases in 3 years.
Whew. You hear that?
Yeah.
You know what 1 million cases is?
Yeah, 1 million cases in 3 years.
After having the doors shut in your face, how many times?
42.
Okay. 42. And on 43,
mm-hmm.
he got a break and he ran with it. And he did not sit there and wait for anyone to hand him anything. He went there and he took it. He took it by storm. Nick
right.
Storm.
That
name is perfect for him. Perfect.
Yes.
So then after Hypnotic,
mm-hmm.
how did you elevate to another level?
So after that was a great run. My team was like strong. And I'm going to be honest, like I'm the man. I mean, I was the face of the brand and, you know, I was pushing it, but I was nobody without my team, you know, mm-hmm. like everybody, mm-hmm. like, you know, put their effort in between, you know, Elaine and RV and a guy by the name of David Sastre and just a lot of the guys and Mark Williams that from all the way from LA. Everybody that was a part of that team at that time really like gave 110% and really like blew the brand up. We did our numbers in those years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came a turnaround.
Mm.
About 2007, early 2007, Hypnotic felt they wanted to go in a different direction.
Wow.
And
How did you take that?
I took it. I mean, at the time, I was a little bit disappointed because it was going to affect my marketing dollars that I needed for the following year.
Yes.
And I was a little disappointed, but I just figured out, like, there was ways to work around it. Like, I mean, hey, I worked with a budget of $10,000. At one time, I was working with a budget of $1 million.
Wow.
So, I mean, if I got a, you know, penny pincher, crunch a couple of numbers here and there,
you gonna do it.
Yeah. So I remember coming home, and I remember just taking time out for myself for a minute. In September, actually October, and it was like around Halloween. And I was taking my time, and I went to a, it was a crazy part. Like, I went to a Sean John Unforgivable party. And I was out there, and I'm just, you know, admiring the event, and I was leaving. I'm walking away, and these two women were running down a block. I think Erica Pittman could probably tell the story better than I can, but two women were running down a block, and they were screaming, "Next storm, next storm." And Erica would tell you that she was running the hills and she slid across the car.
But, I did hear this story. Yeah.
So Erica, and it was Erica Pittman and Dia Sims. And they were like, "Hey, Nick, we need you to come in the office like tomorrow."
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Like, is there an event you need? And they was like, "No, you just need to come to the office."
Okay.
So I showed up to the Bad Boy office the next day. And I thought I was meeting with them, and next thing you know, they were like, you know, "Mr. Combs would like to see you." I'm no Puff Daddy at that time, right? So I was like, "Oh, okay." So I went in the office and sat there, and I remember it was around his birthday. He was like, "Yo, I'm about to make this move. I'm about to rock with this product. You ever heard of the Vodka Ciroc?" And I was like, "Yeah, I did," because I actually was, I did a few events with them because a woman by the name of Jackie Lee was one of my mentors.
Okay.
Very strong woman, very positive African-American woman in the business. She was at Diageo for years and was able to, like, you know, really do some magnificent things over there. And I did some stuff with her, and she had, like, a Janet Jackson tour at the time and a couple of after parties. So I knew Ciroc because I was doing Ciroc and Hypnotic with, like, a mixed drink with both of them.
Right.
So I said, "I knew about the brand and all of that." He was like, "Yes, but listen, man, I got a question, though. How'd you get Hypnotic everywhere?" So at that time, you know, that's Puff Daddy.
Like, right.
And he looking right in your eyes. And
right.
One minute, one person called me and saying, "Ooh, let me tell you." Right. And another part of me saying, "I ain't going to say shit." You know?
Right.
So.
And you got to think quick on your feet because now this man is in front of you.
Yeah.
And you know how powerful he is.
Oh, yeah. And you're in his office. Right. And you're in Puff Daddy's office. And you see the pictures of Biggie and all of the accolades and the Grammys and all of this. And you're like, "Man, I'm finally, and it's just me and him."
But you're still being a businessman.
Being a businessman. Okay. But I was, you know,
you was in awe as well that I made it to this point. I made it here.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm like, "Hey." You know?
Anybody would be feeling that way. Absolutely. After playing back in your head, all the sacrifices you had to make.
Yeah. I mean, like, all the stuff, you know. And I mean, and the thing is, I was around all these celebrities. I was around Jay when we launched 4040. I was in Atlantic City, New York. I was around Puff when he was doing From the White Party on down to a lot of his events. And I was around him. I was around so many celebrities all the way down from Jermaine Dupri, Ludacris, everything. I was around all of them.
Right.
And in this moment, he was like, "So how'd you do it?" And I was like, you know, I had hit him with the, "Oh, I did a little bit of this. I remember Dia was in the meeting too. She started laughing.
He can respect it. He's a businessman.
But it was a lot. I took like about three good programs, and then I said, you know, that's what it was about. And he was like, "All right, listen, we're gonna call you in like a couple of days, and, you know." And it wasn't even a couple of days. I think Dia called me like the next day and was like, "Yo, we need to meet again."
Wow.
And "Come on as a consultant real quick because, you know, we're about to make a move." And they made the move in December of Ciroc with Diageo, the partnership with Combs and them. And I started 2000. I started really 2007.
Right.
Because I gave Hypnotic my 30 days in around November because it was December, kind of like I started with them. Right. I actually started January 1, but I was doing some consulting on the side.
Right.
But yeah, I started January 1. And from January 1, 2008, and we started off and running. Wow. And so then I had to give up the blueprint.
Wow.
And the blueprint was basically three things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is to anybody, but I can tell it, but to do it again, to duplicate it, is almost impossible. But the first thing was the ambassador program.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want another company to hold a budget and give it to one company. Because see, when you give your product to like MKTG or US Concepts at the time and all these other companies out there, they're promoting your brand today, but then they're promoting Crown Royal tomorrow.
Right.
Captain Morgan the next day, Malibu the next day, Smirnoff the next, you know, and the models that you got and all the, even the brand team member, like he's just doing promotions, but he's not about the brand. See, to be a brand ambassador, you got to know the brand, feel the brand, believe in the brand, breathe the brand. You got to know everything, like who's hot, you know, who's coming in town, whose birthday party is next, what movie release is coming out, what album's dropping. That is the definition of a real ambassador. And that's what I had to implement. And that was the biggest thing that we implemented over there at Ciroc was that. Yeah. Wow. And the second thing I think was when at Hypnotic, when I had, before I came over, I had like a little small DJ program back then. I mean, I had a little, couple of DJs. I had like DJ SNS, DJ Clue.
We love DJ SNS and DJ Clue.
Right? And I had like DJ Camilla too.
Of course, cool. All the New York hot DJs.
Right. But that was like when we started with Ciroc, we came out with a real crazy DJ program, which we called the Ciroc Boys. And that right there was probably one of the great, I'm, you know, to my credit, but and also to Sean Prez's credit over there, that program was incredible because we took all the hot DJs at the time in every market, all the way from, you know, Felly Fell in LA, all the way to Ferris up in Chicago, down in Atlanta, we had Drama, you know. I mean, we were all the way across the board, but in New York alone, I mean, we had Clue. We covered the radio. We had Pro Style, Camilo, Self, Clue, Flex. I mean, you couldn't even breathe in New York without, you know, knowing about the Ciroc Boys. All the way down to D.C. from Quicksilver, you know, all the way down. Like, we blanket the nation with it. And not only that, then we had the guys behind it as well. Then we had the artists out of it.
Yes.
So we had the Rick Ross. You had the, you know, you had Meek then.
Back then.
That day.
Before Meek is who
Meek
is today.
Today. Right. So you had Meek. We had Ross. You know, of course, we had Puff. You know, I mean, everybody that was coming through the system. We had French.
What a movement.
Yeah, it was a crazy movement.
What a movement.
Yeah.
I mean, I just have to tell you, I don't know if the spirits and liqueur business would be where it is today without having Storm.
That's a good question. I mean, I would take a lot of
credit. And I'm talking about the movement of Black people.
Oh, yeah.
The movement of Black businessmen. The way it was like a movie every time you saw Hypnotic, every time you saw Ciroc.
Yeah.
It was like an experience
that's what
I wanted to be a part of.
Part of, right.
But I could only be a part of it through the motherfucking TV.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was a part of it just watching it.
We saw the lifestyle. That's what it was about. Yeah. It was selling the lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and it was about celebrating. And it was celebrating life. And that was like really key into launching, you know, and to be a part of both brands. That's what it really was about.
When you look back, do you have any regrets?
You know, I think my biggest regret, I think, would be not being there as I should have been for my kids.
Mm.
Now, let me just say this. Yes, I was there.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Physically there and, you know. But when I look back, I don't know, sometimes, like, I don't think that I was, like, you know, there. Mm. You know, financially, yes, you're there. You know, trips and all of this other stuff, but you know, sometimes when I look back, I just wish I spent more time in certain things. And when you were running for so long and you're trying to make, you know, good on everything and trying to make everybody happy. Of course, you can't make everybody happy. But if I were to look back and say that, I think that was one of the things that I wish I could have did better.
I think every working dad and every working mom has that same battle and has that same feeling. I wish I was at that game. I wish I was at that recital.
Right.
I wish I was home to tuck you in. But the truth of the matter is, you wouldn't have been able to give them and provide to them the lifestyle that they had and have if you didn't make those sacrifices, Storm.
Right.
You had to make sacrifice to elevate your family and take them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure as they get older, they will realize that.
Right.
So I'm glad that you acknowledge it. It's very few parents that have that moment of acknowledgement.
Yeah.
They just say, I did the best I could do. You're acknowledging that I could have maybe spent a little more time, but you had to make sacrifices. So I appreciate you mentioning that. But I also want to talk about something quickly. How did your mental health, how did you deal with your mental health with having, being pulled in so many directions as far as business, the women, the lifestyle? How did you balance your mental health through all of this after all these decades?
And I'll be lying to you mm-hmm. if I would say, oh, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was great. Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't
good.
And I ended up, not this past summer, but last past summer, mm-hmm. shutting down. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did. Mm-hmm. I am so glad I did. Mm-hmm. I had to tell my story. Mm-hmm. Because when you see Nick Storm, mm-hmm. people know you're going to have a good time, no matter where you're at. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. I treat the janitor like he's the principal. I don't care who you are, you know? You can't teach that, you know? But I broke down 2 years ago because I felt like I was at a loss. Mm-hmm. And I was glad, I want to say, I want to back up. I was glad I broke down because when I broke down and I shared my story on IG, yes. I must have had more people DM me, look me in my face, even my friends that I sat, I got a call of 8 friends that we all together. Mm-hmm. We laughed, we talked, we had glasses of wine, we sat there. I told them what I was going through. I told them my struggles, my trials, my tribulations. Mm-hmm. I told them I was sorry. I was sorry I wasn't broke down. I cried. Mm-hmm. We laughed, we hugged. Mm-hmm. But when we walked away, 5 out of 9 said, Nick, I need help.
Wow.
Where did you go? Can you help me? Mm. It was so deep that day. Mm. It was so deep because I had to go and check in. Mm-hmm. Not for alcohol or drug abuse. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I had to check in for myself. Mm. Mm. And it was so powerful. And it was really life-changing for me. And it made me see things a lot clearer. And it made me help others. I think that was like my mm-hmm. best thing. Of course, you're still dealing with certain things that you still, but I'm not dealing with none of the things that I was dealing with prior before.
You dealt with it.
Yeah.
You dealt with it and you knew that it was time to take time out.
Yeah.
And what's amazing to me is sharing it with your friends mm-hmm. and being so open and so candid. Because I feel when we talk about mental health, especially for men, it's almost like it's taboo.
Yeah.
It's like men don't feel pain. Mm-hmm. Men don't cry.
Yeah.
Men don't hurt. Men don't have insecurities. When they do.
They do.
They're human.
Exactly.
They're human.
Exactly.
And when someone looks and say, oh my God, Nick Storm went through this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because what I see is he's having a great time. He's traveling, but they don't realize there is Nick Storm, the man mm-hmm. behind the scene.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the things that I had to deal with. I had to look. Michael Jackson mm-hmm. says it, man in the mirror.
Yes.
You got to look at the man in the mirror and you got to be happy with what you're looking at.
Amen.
And I was looking at that man and I wasn't happy with what I was seeing.
But you had to make change.
I had to make change. And change was change was needed. Mm-hmm. All the way around. Physically, mm-hmm. mentally, mm-hmm. spiritually. Mm-hmm. It was definitely needed.
You know, I watch you a lot on Instagram. I read a lot of your quotes. And I have to tell you, I know a lot of people. But it's very few people that have touched me in the way that you touch me. Mm-hmm. Emotionally, mentally, you're a family man. And you are always pushing the people around you and beyond to do better, mm-hmm. to take chances on themselves, believe in their craft,
yeah.
follow their passion. And I have to tell you, I'm glad I got to know you on an intimate brother and sister level.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad because I walked away from the financial world because of surrounding myself with people like you.
Mm.
I said, if he can do it, and I know it wasn't easy, I'm sure I can do it too.
Yeah.
It's how bad I want it.
Right.
And how bad I'm going to work for it. So I want to just take this opportunity to thank you first and foremost for loving on me,
mm-hmm.
for telling me I can do it. But behind every beautiful, smart woman you may see, there are some strong, men pushing us.
Yeah.
And I just want to say you are one of those men to me.
Thank you.
And I'm sure I'm not the only woman out there. I know there's many women that feel this way about you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a happy guy. You're a go-lucky guy. You're a deep guy. I see you're a great father. And I love that you still can be the business next door about your business and have no problem connecting to your emotional side as well.
Yeah.
What is up next for next
door? Oh, yeah. So it's a lot. So I started my own agency now. So I'm going to start my own, which is now, Blue Storm Marketing Group. Yes. It's
going to
be this year. So
love it.
I'm jumping out. Just really consulting with brands right now.
Okay.
Consulting with like 3-4 brands right now, which is great.
Okay.
I'm gonna be writing a book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excited.
Yeah. Excited for the book.
Excited for the book.
And right now, I'm currently working on a documentary.
Amazing.
So everything that we talked about, I want to actually be able to show and visualize it and actually tell my story, because it's very important to understand the story, because I just want to help others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to give you this knowledge. Like Jay said, I'll give you this knowledge for $9.99. Like, I'm going to give it to you. Like, because it does you no good if you're going to keep it and die with it.
Thank you.
You can't. You got to be able to give it. To, like, and that's been one thing about me. Like, I have so many kids. Like, people text me and ask me for, you know, how much you charge, if you can come in and tell me what's my, look at my business plan and tell me. And I would say, if you can meet me at a certain time, just come and let me see it and we'll talk through it. Like, I've done it for so many people. I've had about, like right now in the business, when I was counting the other day, there's about 14, 15 people that have come up under me that's actually at liquor companies right now.
Wow.
Yeah, like whether they're brand ambassadors all the way down.
You were not afraid to share.
No.
And you were not intimidated about someone taking your shine or taking a check from you.
Right. Mm-mm. Not at all.
Selfless.
I'd rather educate you, you know, because you can give that power to somebody, and that, you know, and actually the other day the girl called me, a woman that I worked for, and actually taught her so much, and she took the knowledge of what we were doing and went somewhere else, and now she's actually going back and saying, "Yo, Nick, guess what? I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I need you a part of this."
People don't forget.
People don't forget.
People don't forget that you gave back.
Right.
And gave back from the heart and not expecting anything in return.
No. Mm-mm.
Just because you feel I have this knowledge, I'm not going to keep it hostage.
No.
I'm going to share it.
I'm going to share it.
That's growth.
Yeah.
That's growth. And I think we need more people like you in the industry.
Yeah.
And when I say in the industry, I mean across the board.
Right.
We need more people to think that we're not going to be here forever. What legacy are we leaving behind?
That's it. That's the key.
What legacy are we leaving behind? I always say this to myself, Nick, when I look at myself in the mirror. At my funeral, what will people say about me? What will I be remembered as? And when I hear your story, all I can tell you is you've touched a lot of lives, you sold a lot of money, and life is about having a good time. And taking those moments to enjoy life.
That's right.
But also taking those moments to take care of our mental health.
Yeah.
And being still and reflecting.
Yeah.
And I think you said you took that time to reflect back at your life. You was moving at a speed where you had to. But there's a moment you have to be still to reflect, to just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, wow, look what I've accomplished. And look what I have to work on before I take this next venture. Because now you're going into another venture in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be strong to deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
What would you leave the listeners with if you had to leave them something of inspiration besides this amazing podcast and story you just did with us? What would you leave the listeners with?
I posted it today. My dad used to say, if you fall down, hopefully that you fall down on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Fall down 7, get up on 8. That's what I posted today.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say, stay humble.
Stay humble.
Don't stay hungry, though.
Stay hungry.
And meet everybody. I always tell my interns, meet everybody.
Mm.
All right? Meet everybody. Because you never know who's in the room.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
And that's why when I do like my little, you know, events and, you know, I tell people, put your phone down, shake someone's hand, tell them who you are, meet somebody around this room. Everybody, this is a little party, but put your phone down for a minute. You know, don't stay in the corner on your, no, get out for a minute. Mm-hmm. Meet this person over here. Say hello to this person. You don't know if this person can help you. You don't know if this person's looking for a job. You don't know if you're looking for a job. Like, mm-hmm. you don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just always say, like, just stay very positive. Stay blessed. Stay grounded. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, that's the, you know, and I always say, like, you only got one life, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. You know, use it up.
Use it up.
Use it up.
We had Nick Storm today, guys. I mean, what an honor to have him. All I can tell you is there is a lot of golden nuggets that he dropped today. Write some of them down and put them to use. Thank you for joining Our Mirrors Reflections today with Andrea Jackson and our guest, Nick Storm.